Boy, was I getting scared there. He was kept looking at my apple. Did you see that? And he's bigger than me, and I couldn't have done anything about it. Oh, yeah. Isn't that a beautiful looking apple? I love them. We're going to talk about it later on. I might even taste it. And I see you don't want a dry sermon, so we'll try not to do that. But it's great to be here. It's great to be part of the family of God. And love did lift me from sin. I mean, I'm still a sinner. I still goof. I make mistakes. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My favorite verse, because I'm a sinner, saved by grace. Well, it's going to be an interesting sermon this morning, I hope. But I hope it'll be not just interesting, but edifying. I hope this will challenge you. And I want you to examine yourself as I examine myself every time I open up the scriptures. Don't look at the person in front of you or behind you, to your left, to your left. Look at yourself and say, how are you doing in the subject of love? You know, the Bible talks in Corinthians, there's nine gifts. Notice the word gifts of the Spirit. There's nine of them. There's nine gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians. The gifts of the Spirit are wisdom of words of wisdom, words of knowledge. And it's a wonderful subject. I'm not going to talk about it. I hope I didn't. I saw some of you. Oh, no, too heavy for me. I'm a practical theologist. I'm not a theologian. So I'm more practical, and we'll leave this up to some more people with knowledge. But what we're going to do is really, come back. Look at that. Apple is alive. Oh. Is it ever good? Wow, I love apples. We're going to be talking about it at the end of the sermon too. But I just love apples. And and these red ones are probably the most juiciest and sweet and refreshing. I won't take another bite, but I will later. If you want a bite, you can have a bite here after. I don't mind sharing. In Argentina, we share. We share the same cup. We share the same fork. Many times, we share the same straw, which is called a bombilla. So if you want to have a bite of this apple, I will share it with you. You're laughing. I'm in Argentina. If I said that, that apple would be gone by now. But you know, apples are very interesting. It's definitely, this apple is definitely the most prettiest looking part of an apple tree. And as I said, I don't think the bark would taste very good, and I don't think the branches would taste very good, and I don't think the leaves would taste very good. But this is so delicious. And the cool thing about an apple is when you finish the apple, you have seeds. And there could be 5 or 6 seeds in this apple core. And if you take those seeds and you go and you plant them, you'll get 5 more trees. It produces. And it gets what is called fruit, of course. And they become juicy apples also. I have 4 apple trees, or 3 apple trees at one place this year, and 1 apple tree at the other place. And I get all the fruit of those apples, because the people do not eat apples. And they let the apples fall, and rot. So I take my coat off, and I go there, and I ask permission, and I've got probably 5 bucket gallons. I've probably got about 20 of them. And I put on Facebook, anybody want apples, contact me. And I've had hundreds of apples given out to other people. So I like apples. Apples are good. But you know, the apple is like the fruit of the Spirit. See, this one apple has seeds in it. And these seeds produce. You know, we're going to talk about a different kind of fruit. We're not going to talk about the apple. I probably spent too much time on the introduction anyway. But it's not fruit that you hold and eat like an apple. The fruit of the Spirit is refreshing and good. Everything about the fruit of the Spirit is positive. Notice we talked about the gifts, plural. But now we're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit. No, you go to an ice cream shop and you get an ice cream. But you know, ice cream comes in different flavors. And you could have an ice cream. Oh, some of you are drooling. Here, I've got a hanky here. No, I haven't. Yes, I've got a hanky. Doesn't that look good? But it is ice cream cone. But there's different flavors, different parts of it, and so on. So when you get that, you have one ice cream cone. You know, some people talk about the fruit of the Spirit, and they use this as an illustration. I don't like it. Because it's not cherries and pears and lemons and apples and oranges and peach. And no, the fruit of the Spirit is what? The fruit of the Spirit. I have a better example I like myself. Personally, you might like this. I've heard sermons. Before I did this sermon, I probably listened to about 8 sermons. Some are good, some are bad, some are biblical, some are... But they use this, but I don't. I use this. I use this as an illustration. There's one here. I just happen to have an orange. And when you look at this orange, you open it up here like this, and there's something interesting. It's only a mandarin orange. I think there's another word. Isn't it for a mandarin orange? Somebody knows it? I don't know. Anyway, this mandarin orange, it's only one orange. And it looks juicy. Look at that. There's 9. Oh, there's more in this one. But in the fruit of the Spirit, there's 9 parts. But you know, but it is just a fruit. And there's the fruit. And there's one part. Now, we're going to talk about this one. Not very polite of me eating in front of you all. I'm sorry. But there's one missing from that. But the fruit of the Spirit is, as I said before, let's get it. Come on in. There it is, love. That's the one we're going to talk about. This is the fruit we're going to talk about today. And I've been spending the last 6 months on the fruit of the fruit of the Spirit. And when I come to this one here, which is patience, self-control, I have trouble with that one. And when I preached on that one, and I had to tell the congregation, I'm preaching to myself. I don't have trouble with love. I have to admit, love, joy, and peace. Oh, I'm 100% on that one. But patience, long-suffering, we won't talk about that today because that's a hard one for me to talk about. But let's look at the verse. Open up your Bibles, whatever Bible you have. Open up your phone. Open up your iPad and let's read the passage of scripture we're going to be talking about this morning. It says here in Galatians chapter 5:22, but the fruit, singular, of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forgiveness of patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. This is the fruit of the Spirit. And how do you receive? How do you cultivate? How do you get this fruit? The Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you something now. If you don't believe it, I'm in no hurry. You can take me out to Starbucks and pay a coffee for me. I don't mind, and we'll talk about it. But you pay the coffee. But anyway, I have some of these. I have all of them. We have all of the fruit of the Spirit in you. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, when you say, Jesus, come into my life, come in today, come in to stay, come into my life, Lord Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit. Now, there's other evangelical, Bible-believing, fundamental groups that say, no, you have to cry, you have to roll on the ground, you have to say, Abba, 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 Father, 100 times, and then you get the Spirit. But the Bible says when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, bang! Jesus gives us, God gives us the Spirit in us. And He gives us, we are full of the Holy Spirit. But He allows us, He wants us, He encourages to let that Spirit work through us. That's the thing. We can quench the Spirit. We can put a brake on the Spirit. We can put down the Spirit. He's in us. That's why we can say no to Satan. When Satan attacks us, we can say, anda, afuera, get out of here. We can say that to him because we have the Holy Spirit. But a lot of times, no, I think I'll go the way of the devil. But we do have it, and we have these fruit of the Spirit. But we have to allow it to manifest in our lives. And we're going to look at that as we go along. But very interesting. The first fruit listed in Galatians chapter 5, and the one that informs all the rest is love. Love. Agape love. Now, I'm not going to dazzle you with my Greek knowledge. Because I don't know very much Greek. Even though I had to study it for 3 years, I've forgotten it all. But anyway, one word I do remember is agape. That agape, A-G-A-P-E, love, it's mentioned, it means a choice, not a feeling. It's not a feeling. It's a choice that I have. It's a decision to put others first. It's a decision to put others first. Jesus put us before himself. He died on the cross. He didn't have to die. When he was hanging there, he could have called 10,000 angels, and those angels could come and zap them all with a laser beam. Sure, he could have. But he went all the way because he had agape love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He could have called 10,000 angels, as I said, but he didn't. The world needs us to show that real, sacrificial, unconditional love. When we know God's love, we can show his love to others. People are looking for love. Look in Russia. Look in Ukraine. Look in all over the world. There's wars and rumors of wars. Because there's no love. And it's something very special. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, we use this at weddings a lot, don't we? Love is patient. I don't like that word. But anyway, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not eagerly angered. It has kept no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails. Do you have that love? You have it in you if you're a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, come and talk to me, because I'm telling you, once you get the Spirit of God in you, once you accept Jesus, you'll change a 180-degree turn. You're going to go, whoa, and you're going to go the other way. I've seen it over and over in 75 different countries of this world. People change. And when they accept Jesus Christ, love. I can think of when I was in Goma, Zaire. 1.5 million people got killed. There was 1 million people, refugees. And here I am, white, North American, Caucasian, walking through the refugee camps, thousands of tents, holding hands with an African 6'6". In those days, you could hold the hand of a friend. But anyway, I'm holding him and chewing on a piece of wood, walking through the camp, because I had love for him. And he had love for me. Because you know why? Because he was my brother in Christ. We have the same Savior. We have the same Father. You're going to say, well, why was he completely dark and I'm completely white? Well, we have the Heavenly Father. And he loved me and I loved him. And I use that example often in my life because it's such a reality of it. Agape. In the Bible, it talks about four different types of love. But agape is one we're going to zero in on. It's complete love. It's complete love. It expresses the highest form of love that comes through the Holy Spirit. See, I say to people, I can do anything. And they say, baloney. You're full of baloney. I say, well, I can do all things through Christ, which gives me the force and the energy and the power. I always tell the example, I shouldn't do it, but I will. My wife's not here. But you know, when I was in grade 2, I just about failed. They let me on to grade 3 because of maybe my personality. Grade 3, I just about failed.
It's called Pass on Trial in My Time. Grade 2, 3, and 4, I passed on trial. Grade 8, I failed. I went back to grade 8 at Moscow. I failed. I went to grade 8 again. I failed again. Now, I can say this publicly. It's not politically correct if I say it to somebody else. That takes a stupid person or a problem person. And my biggest problem was English. And I started taking out this gorgeous girl. Oh, she's still a beauty. 56 years. And she thought I was German because I had an accent. I had an accent because I had two fathers and four mothers. We won't go into that now. But anyway, then the Lord says to me, Ron, go to Quebec and be a missionary. I said, Lord, you must be kidding. I can't even speak English, never mind French. And he sent me to Quebec, la belle province of Quebec. Car Dieu est un ami le monde qui l'a donné son fils. He gave me French. And I spent 12 years in Quebec, and I bought a house. I was there. Then you know what the Lord did? You gotta laugh. He said, go to Argentina. I said, Lord, I had trouble with English. I had trouble with French. Now you're asking me to go to Argentina and learn Espanol? And I'm not a linguista. I'm a communicator. My wife's a linguista. So I went to Argentina. Y yo hablo español. So God, I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me. And I'll show you the records. I'm written down in the archives of the child welfare that I am an imbecile, I am backwards, I am not adoptable. That's written in their papers. People tell me to take them to court, but I'm not going to. So I've given those things because you can do it through Christ. And you can love. If you've got the Spirit, you're going to love people. It's going to be unreal. People can slap you in the face, they can spit on it. I can remember I was standing on streets many times giving out Bibles and people spitting on me. Oh, yeah. But I loved them. God gave me that gift. And you can have it too if you have Jesus. Complete love, giving love, godly love. And that's the love we want. I don't think I have any enemies in the world. They think maybe they're enemies, but they're not my enemy. I may be their enemy, but I don't know. Because God loved them. God loved them. There's two others. There's Eros, which is the eye attraction. When I saw my gorgeous-looking girlfriend at ISCF in the School Christian Fellowship at Vancouver Tech, and she was secretary, and I was president of a religious club there. We had lots of executive meetings, but that was the top one. I have to admit, it was okay. And then there's Philo, which is a brotherly love and kindness. Just, you know, he's my brother, I love him, I kind of. And then the one that is so important is agape love, and that's the one. Galatians 5:16a says, so I say, walk by the Spirit. And when you walk by the Spirit, and you do what the Spirit tells you to do, like he told me to go to Quebec, he told me to go to Argentina, when you do it, walk with him, he'll allow those fruit, that love, come out of you, it'll become natural. People think I should be in an institution because of my childhood. They think I should be a drug addict, I should be a blank, I should be a drunkard. They said I should be taking pills. I mean, my childhood was just so... I went to 8 different schools. When you go to 8 different schools, your education is all broke up. But God knows. Look what 1 John 4:7 says. Dear friend, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Remember when the peace and love was all the rage in the world, you know, the hippies? But we're talking about unconditional giving love. Giving, not expecting something in return. Sacrificial giving.
And we who know Jesus, if we exercise that gift that God, that fruit that God has given us, the world will change. Your neighborhood will. Think of those two little old ladies, they're going out. That's amazing, amazing illustration. They go out and they probably have canes or walkers or maybe a walker. I don't know, maybe a cane. But because they love children. I was 7 years old, living in my second father and third mother, and I was invited to go to Sunday school. And I went to this little Cascade Gospel Chapel, 7 years old, a little confused in life. You can imagine. I was confused. And they loved me. Unconditionally. And that is 1953. When I walked into that church, and I still go to that church today. Mind you, I went away for 20 years and 12 years. So, but you know what I mean. And they loved me. And they sacrificially. As we've already heard, we're going to hear one more time. God, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God showed that great love for us by sending his Son for us. He sent to show his love. It was love in action. I can say to a person, "Je t'aime." Te amo, I love you. But we can show it. We can practice what we preach. As I said this morning in the morning meeting, I went to a celebration of praise yesterday. And I met John Channon. Oh, Bill Kent. Oh, I met all the Cochrans. Oh. These were people I prayed for 20, 30, 40 years ago. And my heart was just booming. I was just enjoying every second of it. Why? I don't know. I see people with a different race, a different nationality, a different color of skin, a different ideology. But I love them. It might not be my way of living. Another quick example, my daughter lived with us for 14 years downstairs in my basement suite. And 14 years she lived there. And she saved up enough money after 14 years to buy a condominium out in Coquitlam. So I had to find renters. Whoa. Have you ever looked for renters? Have you ever heard some of the horror stories of renters? And I'd see a lot of you nodding. Well, I started looking. Well, my son has a fellow working with him, and he heard about my house, so he came over, knocked on the door, and I looked at him. Woo! Profiled. You know what profiling means? I looked at him. I said, "Yeah, can I help you?" He said, "Yeah, I would like to rent downstairs your basement." Well, he had tattoos here. He had tattoos here. He had shorts on, tattoos there. He was pierced all over. I said, "Well, I didn't know how to get, you know." I said, "Come take a look at it." So he looked at it. Oh, yeah, he wants it, especially for the price, because I didn't know what I should have charged. I charged $400 cheaper than I should. But that's neither here nor there. God knows all about those things. So anyway, I said, "Give me a week, and I'll get back to you." So I phoned up my son. Daniel, this guy, what do you think? You know what? He honestly said to me, my son, and I got tears showing, "Just love him." That's all he said. I said, "But how can you?" Well, I didn't say that, but I thought that. And he's been there for 3 years now, and he never missed a rent. Lovely people. He smokes outside behind the garage. But a beautiful fella. All he needs now is Jesus. And I hope he gets that, because of what my son said to me. Don't criticize him, Dad. Don't judge him. Don't profile him. Just love him. And we have. They had he lives with another girl, of course, out of marriage. But they had a baby, and we're grandma and grandpa. Can you imagine?
That's what is called love. And it's my son that got after me, because I sort of said, well,
love is the crowning virtue of a spirit-controlled believer. And I'm not saying I'm spirit-controlled, because patience and one or two of the others are a little harder to practice. Love is the parent of all other fruit. All spiritual fruit grows out of the soil of love. And when you think of love, forgiveness goes along with that. And I had to ask God for forgiveness, because I profiled that guy. And he's been there 3 years now. Beautiful person. Love is three directional. We must love ourselves. You're going to say, oh no, I'm just a gusano, we used to say. I think that's French or Spanish, I don't know. A worm. You're just a worm. You're worthless. And you get that sometimes from preachers. Don't ever think you're good. Don't ever think you're worth anything. You are a worm. I disagree with that. Because it says in the Bible, love your neighbor as yourself. So if I love myself, I must love my neighbor. Paramedic's going to come. My heart, you know. Getting too excited, so I'll take my watch off. I put, okay. Anyway, love. Yes, where were we? Yes, love ourselves. You have to love yourself. God loves you so much, you got to love yourself. And the person of Jesus loves you. He died for you. No, I don't say walk around, I love myself. You know what I mean. Love yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. And that's so important. You are unique. And God loved you individually, personally. He knows your first name. And that is so important. He knows your first name. So three-dimensional love or three-directional, we must love ourselves. You can challenge me on that. I could be wrong. I mean, I'm not infallible, and I don't mind when people come up to me after a service and say, can we sit down and have a coffee? I said, yeah, as long as you pay. No, I said, as long as we can talk about that. So, first one. Second one. Let's get started. Love, you should love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and with all your strength. The second commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. This is no commandment greater than these. So we have to love our neighbors. We have to love ourselves. How do we love others? How do we love others? We love others because God loves us. And love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, if we did that, things would change. And in the end of the meeting, I'm going to show you some practical ways that you can love your neighbor. You can show your love. And that is so important. Love yourself and love your neighbor and love others. We must love believers. And that is something. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you may love one another. May you love what God loves and value what God loves. We are to love the believers. And I love believers. Unfortunately, our white, Caucasian, North American way, we can't show our love as we do in South America. I'm a hugger and a kisser. Don't worry, I'm not going to hug you and kiss you, especially after the pandemic. People, I go up to them, give them a hug, and they fall back. But we can show them in other ways, which we're going to talk about later. We have to love our believers. Sure, I don't agree with all my believers. I have so many different friends of mine that are believers. I love them. I say a pesar de, in spite of some things they believe. But I love them. And that's something that God will give you if you ask Him for it. If you work towards that. Look at the good of the person. Look at what they've done, what they're doing. The Holy Spirit can do this. He can do this. The Holy Spirit can do it in us. He can do it for us. And He can do it through us. All we have to do is believe. Trust and obey. There's no other way. Trust God that He'll allow you
to work out your gift of love to others, and he'll do that.
He can take a sinner and save him by grace and produce beautiful fruit in his life. And he can do that for all of us, even we who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Sometimes we don't have that love we should have.
But God will give it to you.
He gave it to me, and I'm not putting it on. You ask my wife. She gets after me all the time. Well, don't climb that tree and get those apples for those people. You can fall. But I love those people. They need the apples. I could give you 100 examples, but she's my protector. What we can't do for ourselves, he can take a sinner, save him by grace, and produce beautiful fruit in his life. And I've seen it. I've seen it at Union Gospel Mission. I've seen it at Central City Mission. I've seen it at Harbor Light Mission. I've seen it on the corner of Maine and Hastings. I've seen it in 75 different countries. That God can take a person, convert that person, and use that person and produce the fruit of the Spirit in his life or her life. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. We have to depend upon the Holy Spirit, of course, in order to show this love. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Love is of God, and it's a character of God. It's God himself, because it says in the Bible, God is love. So how can we really know? How can this world know love if they don't know God? That's the problem. Argentina isn't having problems. A new president's coming. If that president doesn't love God, they're not going to get out of the mess they're in. Ukraine and Russia. If you know God, God will change those politicians. God will change those presidents. And you'll see more peace in this world.
For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the love for those who fear God. Love. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the love for those who fear him. And when he says fear him,
it means reverence him.
We get mixed up with that word. In Sunday school, I used to wonder about fearing God. I didn't want to fear God. Oh, I gotta go hide. I fear God. No, it's reverence God. Appreciate God.
So great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. He loved us so much. So much. Colossians says it this way. When you are dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive, woo, in Christ. He forgave us all our sins and have canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailed it to the cross. Learn to love like God loves us. You truly love. We must learn to forgive Jesus. Forgive. Jesus has shown us this is by his example. If we're going to really know about love, we have to forgive. And that's just the end of my sermon, getting to it. We need to ask God to help us forgive others. If I can't forgive, I can't love. I can't love if I can't forgive. There's something going on here. We have to forgive one another. We have to try to understand. We need to ask God to help to forgive others as he forgave us. We need to ask God for help. We have to cry out to him. Here's what it says in the word. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. We have to forgive one another. I cancel out the debt of your, because you begged me to, showing you that have mercy on your fellow servants, just as I have on you. These are practical, everyday verses that are so important. If we want to love, the way towards that is to forgive. In our churches, how often we've had quarrels, misunderstandings. But we've got to just get over that. Get on with life. Forgive and forget. It's hard to forget, I agree. Forgive, I can forgive. Forgetting sometimes I have problem with. But God is helping me as I get older. And I mean, there's so many. The power of forgiveness is so important. Forgiveness is central to the way of God, to the way of Jesus. Before we came to the meeting this morning, you all weren't there. You missed a feast. We had a fantastic 45 minutes. It was like a banquet, like a... Well, you're going to say, I don't smell any turkey or roast beef, but it was better than that. We sat here for 45 minutes and we worshiped God and thanked God for Jesus. And you know, while you're doing that, the love just comes into you. It's the central way to Jesus is forgiving others. Don't do something kind today. Love your neighbor. That's an important thing. How can I encourage you to love? Well, I did this a week and a half ago. I did that. I made that bench out of bed railings. I made that bench. And people walk down the street and they sit on it. I've only seen two. But that's the way God told me to invent a way to show my neighbors I love them. And all it says is, have a rest. And there it is, it's on my property, and I've given them permission, have a rest. That's one way. I know it's enfant, it's childish maybe, but I want to get across to my neighbors. As I said, I've got three apple trees, and I'm out there picking apples, and there that's at Cascade Gospel Chapel last week. I took I don't know how many dozen, and it says they're free. Make apple pie, apple crisp, and apple sauce. Take a bag. Take two bags. Take a box. They all went. Now you're going to say, well, for a 78-year-old guy to pick up all those, that takes time, but that's okay. Now, I didn't make that. But what you can do, maybe you're like me, you have trouble picking up the apples. But if you get the apples, make a pie, and go to the neighbor. The dear elderly lady next to her said, would you like this pie? She might die from a heart attack, because people just don't do that here in North America. But try it. But just be ready to call 911. How about that lady that has a little baby and you've got friends with them? Why didn't she? Why don't you go out in the afternoon and I'll look after Georgina? Just go out. You got your phone? I got my phone. If there's any problems, I'll phone you. You phone me. But just go out for 2 hours and go down and have a coffee at Starbucks. I've got nothing against Tim Hortons, but I get paid by Starbucks for advertising, so I have to use that. Anyway, here we go. Another one, washing car. These are things I did before. I can't help people wash a car, but help them wash a car. The old guy next door, that old, nice old car. Help him wash the car. Show him your love. How about taking leaves out of the eavesdrop? If I went up that ladder, I'd have to find a new wife after 57 years. But these are things that I did before. How about shoveling snow in the winter? You know, if the sidewalk is not shoveled and somebody slips, you're to blame, and you can get charged for it. How about that little old lady this is a Rafael Castro. She's in an old folks home. Oh, does she love somebody to come up to her and say, hola, que tal, como esta usted, mi querido hermano? She loves it every minute of it. How about raking leaves now? They're falling. Rake leaves. How about helping that person with the groceries, taking the groceries in? How about when you're making a chicken, make two chickens? This is what I do. When I make a chicken, this is the other night. Ooh, was it good? I better finish this, get lunchtime. But anyway, make two chickens and give a chicken away. Love your neighbor as yourself. We don't look like you, think like you, love like you, speak like you, pray like you, vote like you, love your neighbor, no exceptions. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you loved us so, so much. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we are just showered with so many blessings. And we just want to pray for those in Ukraine and Russia. We pray for those, Heavenly Father, and on the shores of Nova Scotia that are going through problems. All of those fires, people. Father, there's so much need in this world. And we pray that we'll be able to love them in one way or another, whether it's a love offering, whether it's sending clothes, whether it's doing this, that, or the other thing. Help us, guide us, and direct us, and we'll give all the glory and honor that you deserve. And thank you for loving me, us. We ask this and give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.